This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Ryssdal. I did something last week that I haven't done in all the time I have been working on this program, an interview with an old friend and a former colleague of mine.
Kai! Oh my God, it is really nice to hear your voice.
It is nice to hear you too. Stacey Vanek Smith is now the host of NPR's podcast, The Indicator. But before that, she was a reporter here at Marketplace. And before that, she was the overnight producer for me when I hosted the Marketplace Morning Report.
We build character. We still found time to do the Wall Street Journal crossword.
That's right. That's right. She was always better at it than I was. Anyway, after we caught up, as colleagues tend to do, we got around to the new book she has written. It's called Machiavelli for Women. Yes, that Machiavelli, the prince, ends justify the means, that guy. It's about how his words are relevant to women in the workforce today. So here you go. Hey, you wrote a book.
Yes, I did. I did write a book.
Oh, my goodness.
And I'm very, very thrilled to be here talking with you about it, Kai.
You are not as thrilled as I am. It is great to have you. I'm going to say back at Marketplace for a little bit.
Yeah, well, 11 years.
I know. All right, but let's get to it here, shall we? And here, I'm a big one for introductions and epilogues in books, you may remember. And here's what I want to do. I want to start literally at the very beginning of this book, where you say you read the Prince in college and you hated it. Yet here we are.
Yeah. Well, experience is a funny thing, Kai. So, yes, I hated it because I thought it was so cynical. You know, it was all obsessed with taking power from other people and sort of scheming. And I was much more idealistic. I liked Cicero and Marx and, you know, kind of the more like people are noble and they just need to find the very best in themselves and will create like a network of brother and sisterhood all across the world. But then, you know, I worked.
Mm-hmm.
And you start to notice that things that happen in the workplace are not necessarily fair or inspiring or make you think of like networks of brother and sisterhoods across the world. I just found myself thinking about Machiavelli. So I thought it was a good proxy for women in the workplace and for other marginalized workers.
A lot of this book is you and your personal experiences. And here's where I have to refer back to the disclaimer I made in the introduction. I was around, I mean, you and I worked together on the overnights for a long time. You were at Marketplace for a while, and we've known each other for a while. I was around for some of the incidents you describe.
Yeah.
And it's interesting and troubling to me that the first experiences you had with this discrimination and challenges in the workplace happened in public radio, you know?
Well, what I would say to that is thank you. But these are the things that happen in all the workplaces all across the country. It was by no means unique. And I mean, it's especially notable because I think we work with a really great, smart, well-intentioned group of people. I mean, I think it just speaks to the fact that this is just what happens. You know, 80% of CEOs are men. The pay gap, which is women earn about 80 cents on the dollar. For Black women, it's 63 cents. For Latina and Native women, it's 55 cents. This is the culture that we're in. This is the world that we're in.
Yeah. You have distilled your reporting for this book with regular women in the workplace and women of some renown, great renown in point of fact, and you offer guidance and advice, right? But you also say a couple of times, look, it's really hard for me to give you this advice because X, Y, and Z, and the petard that you get hoisted on there is the systemic solution, right? Because this is a systemic problem. The systemic solution is not always in line with what individuals have to do for their own day to day.
Well, this is really true. So one of the reasons that I wrote the book was that I felt like a lot of the research I was reading and the books I was reading and the data I was reading kind of dealt with, here's what companies should do. And what kept coming into my mind, and I think what drew me to Machiavelli was like, but they're not. Like, what do you do if a company isn't doing that? Or what do you do if a company is doing that, but it's just not happening fast enough? It just felt like all the power was given to institutions and policies. And certainly those are the things that will really move the needle. But I wanted advice that I could give people on an individual level? Like, what power do you have in a situation? What options do you have in a situation? Because it's so easy to feel really powerless in a lot of these situations. And you're so right. Some of the advice I give was, like, really disturbing, right? I mean, it's not like, did I feel great saying, like, if you smile in a negotiation, the negotiation's more likely to go well. You know, you should consider not being so assertive or demanding in a negotiation or people won't like you.
That must have just killed you to have to write that, right? I mean, it's true, right? But it's just a societal bias that just must make your head explode as you're sitting there saying, I'm going to write this in a book now.
No, it's true. It did not make me feel good to write to write that advice. But the thing that makes Machiavelli both timeless and honestly a little chilling in certain moments is that he kind of tries to remove emotion and morality from his advice. It's very practical. It's sort of like, look at the situation and make decisions about how to best get what you want in a situation. And does this mean you have to smile in a negotiation? Of course not. But at least you have that piece of knowledge.
Okay, so the last, 8, 10, 12 pages of this book is, and I'm not at all surprised coming from you and knowing you, right? It's almost literary, right? You talk about drinking wine from his vineyard and sitting on your stoop in the middle of the pandemic watching.
My research drinking.
That's right.
That's my research drinking.
But here's what I want to know. What do you suppose he would make, as you say in this book, what do you suppose Machiavelli would make of an entire section of this society across space and time looking to him for lessons?
I think he would be very thrilled, honestly. Machiavelli wrote this book. It was basically a cover letter. He was trying to get his job back. He was essentially the Secretary of State for Florence. Florence got taken over by the Medici family, and he wrote the prince to try to get his job back. He was like, this is all the wisdom that I have for my job. And he was hoping to sort of blow the Medici socks off. It did not work. I don't think Medici ever read it. The Catholic Church did read it and then threatened to excommunicate anyone who owned the book. They were totally horrified. And he died thinking that it was, I think, a failure. I have a lot of affection for Machiavelli after spending all these years with him. I think he would be interested at how little certain things had changed and how applicable I think a lot of his lessons are. I mean, it's still true in its own way 500 years later.
It is a book called Machiavelli for Women. Stacey Vanek Smith wrote it. You hear her on The Indicator on NPR. It's a podcast. You used to hear her here, which kind of makes me sad that you don't anymore, but that's okay. Congratulations on the book. It's really good to talk to you.
Thank you, Kai. It's great to talk with you.